Last time on This Week in Geek, Vegeta had his sights squarely upon Mike the Birdman Dodd. Can maximum nerdosity win against the Prince of All Saiyans? Find out at thisweekingeek.net.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need.
Welcome out to This Week in Geeks March Topic Show. I'm your host, Master Michael Birdman Dodd, but I'm not alone on my quest for the Dragon Balls. I'm joined by my intrepid, able-bodied youthful ward.
The Prince of All Saiyans, Scott.
You know what? I kind of realized this, Scott, as this month we're going to be talking about Dragon Ball Z Kai specifically. You realize that... We're doing this show over Easter weekend, and for those of us who are religious, it's the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking, could you resurrect Jesus with the Dragon Balls?
Yes, because he didn't die of natural causes.
But what if it was preordained in fate? Because I kind of wonder if that kind of plays into it too. But then again, we could just use the Namekian Dragon Balls, and who cares, because they evidently have no rules.
None at all.
Exactly.
I think the Namekian Dragon Balls only rule is they can't die of natural causes.
Yeah, so we could resurrect them using the earthly Dragon Balls, or we could use one of them to make him young, so thus he can't die of natural causes. Now, does natural causes include falling down the goddamn stairs? That's
possibly
natural. So, I'm just saying.
Does it count of getting, what do you call it? Can't think of the thing with rust. What's it called? Tetanus? Maybe he died of tetanus.
Yeah.
He died of being hung to the cross. Now I'm being offensive. Jeez.
See,
I'm Catholic. No worries.
There are so many weird ways, but that's what we're going to be talking about on this month's topic show, brought to you by the good folks over at offworlddesigns.com. Check out code BROHU to get 10% off your entire order. Also, Audible.com, GameAccess.ca, NobleKnight.com, the proud sponsors of These Warriors Are Terrible, OneUpYourLife.com, SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, and lastly, BigAndTallMart.com. Use code GEEK10 on checkout to get 10% off orders, $50 or more. So, now that we've kind of been offensive... And
we're pretty legit. Look at all these sponsors.
I know. It's very exciting to know that people... they like us, they give us stuff, they trust us. And I'm very glad to send a very special thanks out to Funimation for them giving us help for this particular episode. We were sent the series Dragon Ball Z Kai on Blu-ray along with some other goodies. And Kyle Hebert, who's one of the principal voice actors from the Dragon Ball franchise as a whole, he plays Teen Gohan and was the original narrator in the original Funimation dub, not the Kai remake.
Unfortunately,
but not that the new guy isn't terrible, but I do miss Kyle's voice because he has that certain artistic flair, if you will. So I guess let's kind of take a couple minutes before we dig into just the facts. What have you been up to, Scott?
Me personally? Oh, I've just really been up to nothing spectacular at the moment, I guess. I haven't really been saving lives or kissing children on the cheek while I'm doing my campaigning, which I don't really know where I'm going with this, but I've been watching movies.
Good stuff. I myself have been playing a lot of video games, been collecting a lot of toys, actually.
Oh, yeah, which ones?
a lot of vintage Transformers since I got rid of my other collection. And I've been Now I've got many cool ones. I got a complete Superion. I got a complete Ultra Magnus, complete with the missiles and everything.
Ooh.
Yeah, just wait till you see it. I'm trying to find a Trypticon. That's the one I really want to get next. But...
You know, it'd be sweet if there was Ava Transformers. Like and, toys?
Well, there is a series of figures I'm collecting right now. I just got one of the Ava series available for it, and they're called the Robot Spirits line. I think Spade has talked about them before, but they are these hyper super articulated figures from any number of robot series. I've got almost all the Gundam Wing ones, and I bought my first Ava one the other day. Tremendous.
Expensive or not too bad?
About $50 a figure.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so they're pretty much average what you'd expect to pay for a Revoltech, but they're bigger than mm-hmm. Revoltech, though not necessarily as detailed with certain things. Like my Ava doesn't have some of the markings that it did on my original one, but then again, this one's based on the rebuild of Ava, so I don't know whether they've changed that or not. So, but anyway, that's what I've been doing. So a lot of cool toys. But anyway, guys, so let's not waste any more time. We're going to be talking about Dragon Ball Z Kai, but also some of the other related media here. And here are just the facts.
Hello, inferior life forms. It is I, Scott, the Prince of All Saiyans, here with another edition of Just the Facts.
Dragon Ball Z started in 1989 as a continuation of the Dragon Ball manga by Akira Toriyama. It follows Goku's life as an adult 5 years after the events of defeating Piccolo Jr. It revolves around his journey to protect the Earth and the universe from the most ruthless enemies they have ever known, from the Saiyans to Cell. Many of the characters continue their quest with Goku, such as Bulma and Krillin, and some new folks join the crowd, such as Son Gohan, future Trunks, and former enemy Piccolo. Dragon Ball transferring from an action-adventure comedy into an action-packed shonen took less time than you think. The week after the original Dragon Ball ended, Dragon Ball Z hit the newsstands and the airwaves and became one of the most popular anime/manga series of its kind to date. The style in which Dragon Ball Z hit the airwaves was that of the standard week-to-week format that many shows follow. What was different about this was that it was being created simultaneously with the manga. So roughly every 14 pages of manga was to be translated into 25 minutes of action-packed anime. This led to many issues and liberties being taken, because of the fact that you could not go any further into the main story because it had yet to be written. Toei Production took it into their own hands to create side stories, such as the Garlic Jr. Saga, and even some subplots, such as Goku visiting Hell on his way to King Kai. But there are also certain times in the series when you couldn't just cut away to a side story. The most infamous scenes were that of the weeks and weeks of Goku powering up his spirit bomb during the Frieza Saga. Due to the overwhelming popularity, Dragon Ball Z continued after Toriyama wanted it to end with the defeat of Cell. So due to this overwhelming popularity, it was continued onto the Buu Saga and the World Tournament Saga. This was just the beginning of its popularity and rise to become a household phenomenon. During the 20th anniversary of Dragon Ball Z, it was announced that we would be getting a new series. That series would go on to be known as Dragon Ball Z Kai. It was promised to shorten the length down to 98 episodes and follow more strictly to the manga. So rejoice, folks. Those episodes of filler and powering up were gone, and the pace of the series sped up to make it a more gripping and entertaining story. The series ended on the natural ending point Toriyama wanted it to, with the defeat of Cell at the end of the Cell Saga. But as of November 2012, there have been plans to continue Kai into the Buu Saga and probably the World Tournament Saga. For the last 20 years, we have seen the story continue into 18 films following different characters such as Goku's father and other sub-stories such as Cooler's Revenge. The 18th film being released on March 30th, 2013 in Japan, is the first film to be theatrically released since the series ending in 1996. Dragon Ball Z has also climbed many different avenues, such as the extensive amount of video games, like the Budokai series, and the walls and walls of merchandise that exist. Dragon Ball Z has become such a staple in the geek community that it can be still prominently seen in almost every single anime, gaming, and comic convention. Goku has risen to such prominence that he is just as recognizable as Mickey Mouse and Mario, which for many nerds is a huge deal. Well, friends, here's to another 20 years of Dragon Ball. See ya!
Welcome back to This Week in Geeks March Topic Show. Thank you, Scott, for putting together this month's Just the Facts. It's, kind of refreshing to not have to do that for a change.
It was actually pretty enjoyable. I sat here and I was writing this whole thing up. I'm like, yeah, let's do this, this, and this. And I had a movie on in the background. I was like, creative juices are flowing. This is enjoyable.
Now, I had an awkward segue there, but I guess it doesn't matter now.
Fix and post.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of what I wanted to ask you is, how did you find out about this series, Scott? Because you're fairly young compared to me. I saw this when it came out in high school. For me, that would be about 96, 97. And a long, long time ago, it used to be shown on YTV.
Oh, yeah.
Up here in Canada. And I think it was around the same time that Toonami was showing it over in the U.S. But either way,
I think Toonami was a few years afterwards, because it was showing in the 90s, its original run on YTV.
Yeah, and I remember it having a much different voice cast. I mean, when I saw this, you could definitely tell it was Canadian done, because they had Ian Corlett, who you may remember as Cheetor from Beast Wars, was voicing Goku. They had a different voice for Vegeta, and I think everybody else sounded different, although I want to say Krillin has sounded almost nearly consistent across every series. Although I recently went on YouTube and did some comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
Gohan used to be much more annoying than I remember him being.
Well, I remember I sent you that link to the old theme song for the YTV airing of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
So good. So bad, though.
See, I preferred the American version, which I knew as Rock the Dragon, which I still think is the superior theme for the show. I mean, not to take away from Bruce Falconer's work, who would do a lot of the music for the Funimation side of it, but I just preferred the awesome guitar riff, just Dragon Ball Z.
And it was, man, but the Canadian one was so bad.
It was so
cheesy.
Anyone
remembers it? The whole theme song was just Dragon, Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z.
It's like
for a minute.
It's like I'm pretty sure they paid someone $50 and gave them access to the cafeteria.
Pretty much, but it's so memorable for me is whenever I watch Dragon Ball Z, I expected that to be the theme song. I don't know why.
I'm trying to think of where else. Oh, yeah. So when I first saw this, it was me, my friend Brad, my friend Ben. And I can't remember, I think we were just hanging out at someone's house, and I think we were just catching the ass end of either the Saiyan saga, where Goku's fighting Vegeta as the giant monkey, or just catching part of the Frieza saga, where it was right in the middle of them fighting the Ginyu Force. And I think that's when I first came into it. Then I didn't see a lot of it for a long time, although my friend Ben used to tape it off of television, and this is the original cut, so the original 250 plus episodes. And when I saw it, I remember he loaned me 7 or 8 VHS tapes, and they hadn't gotten off Namek yet.
Oh my gosh.
Those were 6-hour tapes a piece, so we used to record those in extended play mode.
Oh yeah, I remember that, when you could have extended play or fast play, whatever it was.
Oh man,
always extended play, because my parents were too cheap to buy VHS tapes.
Yep, same here. If you want the tape, something off of television, it was always EP. So I remember watching, and I never knew what happened to Goku, because I saw him cut Frieza in half with his own Destructo discs, and that was it. And that's all I knew what happened to Dragon Ball for a number of years. It wasn't until I went down to Funimation with 8-Bit Mickey that one of the PR reps there gave me access to the Funimation vault, and I got a chance to fill a backpack full of whatever I wanted, and I went for the Dragon Ball stuff. So it wasn't until a couple of years ago I actually saw the end of the series. So what about you, Scott? How did you first get exposed to this?
Well, I first got exposed to Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z about the same time period. It's similar to what the time period you were saying. It was around 96. So I was 4 years old. So I was pretty damn young. My cousins had come over like they occasionally would, and we'd just hang out in my basement. Sometimes they'd stay the night, and we just always watch YTV. And I just remember seeing Dragon Ball first. I thought it was such a cool show because I was a fan of Sailor Moon at the time because I'm such a manly boy. And I was watching this. I was like, oh, cool, more Japanese animation. I didn't call it anime back then because I didn't know the terminology. And I just remember the episode I was watching of Dragon Ball was one with Goku, Bulma, obviously. And the most distinct memory is Goku's talking about his tail. And he's like, Bulma, where's your tail? And he like opens her pants and looks down her to see if she has a tail. And then I remember it was a few weeks later that I saw Dragon Ball Z for the first time. And I don't distinctly remember what the first episode of Dragon Ball Z was that I saw, but I'd watch it occasionally on YTV. It had to have been during the Saiyan Saga, because I do remember seeing Vegeta for the first – Vegeta fighting with Goku, but I don't remember what part of that saga it was. But I'd watch it occasionally. I never really stuck with it because, again, at 4 or 5 years old, you don't really know when something's coming on except Pokemon. And then I slowly got off of it because of one episode in the Cell Saga. There's an episode in the Cell Saga where Piccolo's there, and it's the one time you actually see Cell devour somebody, and you see what it does to that person. And being a 5-6, I don't know how old I was, it's probably a bit older than that, but I just see this for the first time on a cartoon in the middle of the night. I had nightmares for a good week, and I never didn't watch Dragon Ball for a good 10 years after that, Dragon Ball Z.
So Cell freaked you out that much, eh?
Oh, when you're little and you see this, and you watch a man melt, and he's like, here, take my money, please, please, please.
I know the scene you're talking about.
Exactly, take my money, and Piccolo doesn't do anything, whatever, he's like, stop. He's like, oh my god, thank you, and he just melts this guy. I was so freaked out, I watched it again, and it still gave me the shivers. I was kind of weary about skipping that part just because I remember it so terribly, but I stuck with it.
Yeah,
I finished it.
I actually just watched that episode probably yesterday, and I was actually I think Blair was in the room, and I said something along the lines of to her, wow, and they used to show this during regular kids' time.
Yeah.
Although, do you remember on YTV when they used to show this on YTV's Anime Friday Nights?
Yep.
Around 8 p.m. to, I think, 10 p.m. They would show this. What, Inuyasha?
Inuyasha.
What else did they show?
Well, once the anime let out kind of died, I think, 2008. So I think they had Death Note on there. Gundam.
Yep, I remember Gundam Wing.
Gundam was like 8:30. That's what I remember. Sailor Moon, they never showed that because they stopped airing it around that time.
I think Sailor Moon was on in the mornings. I actually remember
it was, and in the afternoon.
I remember actually Global Television for a long time. Now, for those American listeners who are wondering, what the fuck are you talking about? In Canada, specifically in Ontario, there is a channel called Global, which is Toronto Channel 4, if it was over the air. Or you'd get it on satellite cable, whatever. And YTV was the national youth channel. It was youth television. And they used to show this block of anime for so, so long. And that was a lot of people's first exposure to it, because YTV brought Pokemon on board.
Yep.
They showed Gundam Wing. It really opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Prior. Yeah, YTV really did pave the way for anime in Canada.
And I remember Global Television, they showed Sailor Moon exclusively for a long-ass time. I remember watching that. I think it was on regular mornings at like 8 o'clock. So I would see about the first half of it before I had to get on the bus around like 8:15 to 8:20. I was always hoping the bus would be late so I could watch more Sailor Moon. But
did you have the bus come right to your door kind of thing?
Pretty much, yeah, because originally they wanted us to walk down the street, and my grandmother convinced them that, like, fuck that, you can stop here because most of the kids live at this end of the street. There's only one down there. Make him come to us. So that's how
the
that
needs of the
out.
Many outweigh the needs of the few.
That's right. Screw them. But anyway, back to Dragon Ball. So as you heard during Just the Facts, Scotty kind of gave a brief overview of the series. I mean, obviously, Goku, alien baby, dropped off on Earth. You know the story of Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Z, basically, it takes the action adventure, I would say lightly innocent adventures of Dragon Ball, and turns them into this gigantic space opera macho adrenaline fest. And one of the tropes that's been often mentioned about this is the series is nothing but people groaning, grunting, going, and talking about power levels.
Ironically, that is what my sister, she's like, are you watching porn? And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I had it on my TV, and she's like, all I hear is, is dudes just grunting. I was like, yeah, it's hardcore hentai I'm watching. Take a seat.
Blair actually made a very similar quote about that while I was watching Dragon Ball. And it's weird. Over the last 3 days, I've watched almost 100 episodes. I don't recommend this. Because
I loved it. I did the same thing. I was like, this is the fucking best.
But you start to realize all the things that were wrong with the original run of Dragon Ball Z, which I guess we'll kind of talk about the differences between Z and Kai right now.
All right.
Dragon Ball Z Kai took the 250 episodes and started to cut things out to condense it to fit more with the storyline of the original manga. The original manga, to my understanding, ended at the Cell Saga.
Apparently, sorry, there is some manga afterwards. I found this out, but he wanted to end it at the Cell Saga.
Yeah, so
it's only because how popular it was that it kept going.
Yeah, so this is like the end vision, so to speak, or the original vision, rather. So what they did is Kai cut out a lot of the filler episodes. I mean, there's no Garlic Junior Saga. That's one glaring omission. Which, honestly, just watch the movie The Dead Zone. It sums it up a lot better. And it's just a lot of episodes where just a lot of nothing would happen. It'd be a lot of panning shots, a lot of people sitting there grunting.
Particularly during the Namek and Frieza saga.
Yeah, like, it just dragged out. And literally, episodes would go by. People would talk about power levels, or they talk about how you cannot defeat me yet not throw a single punch. Kai took the approach like, okay, let's get rid of some of this garbage and streamline it. And what you get is a much more polished product. Now, they also had to go back and redubbed and recast everything, which is why you don't hear certain voices anymore. Like I said, Kyle Hebert was the original narrator of the show. Now he's not, but he's still Ox King.
And Chris Sabat doesn't do, like, 13 voices.
Yeah, so he's still Vegeta, he's still Piccolo.
Yeah, there's certain ones you couldn't change. Like, Goku, you change that voice. I feel that really give you an awkward entrance into it, because that's such a familiar voice. Same with Vegeta.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Schemmel, to me, is now Goku. However, I was on the opposite side of the fence about 20 years ago, when I first heard Ian Corlett do it. And it was so weird, the fact that once I'd met Sean Schemmel face-to-face probably about 6-7 years ago now, I always associate him with like, Goku. And then, like I said, having watched the entirety of the series now, that's Goku to me. I can't picture anybody else. However, the original voice of Vegeta, Brian Drummond, he's the guy who's famous for the over 9,000 line.
Which, I was really mad they cut that out of Kai. It's over 8,000 now.
And it sounds so unenthused.
It sounds awkward. It's over 8,000.
Yeah, he's like, it's over 8,000. Who cares? And whereas with Brian Drummond, I mean, there's no need for me to repeat the line. He just has that inflection in his voice. So Kai took some more creative liberties, but they also said it was closer to the original translation of the manga, so maybe it was over 8,000 as opposed to 9, who knows.
But one thing I like comparing them both is how, again, it streamlined it. You can sit there, and I remember trying to watch the original Dragon Ball Z a few years back, and again, the filler is what kills it. I couldn't stand watching eight episodes of his Spirit Bomb. But once they condensed it down and the story just gets moving, the action follows the story at a great pace, it just becomes 10 times more enjoyable. And it really sets in stone why this series has lasted so long and is so beloved by millions of people.
But I also find when you watch Kai and when you've seen the original run, you start to notice little cracks in the armor. I noticed this a lot during the Android saga, and that's actually changed my perception of how I like the sagas now that I've seen the original versus the uncut, is you notice little things that change, like just little character moments were cut out. Like, stuff with, like, Android 16 was cut out that I remember. Stuff with Android 18 was cut out. Just a lot of little things were cut out. And maybe this is just how I perceived it, but the Androids 16, 17, and 18, they never came to... Like, I used to find that was my favorite saga, but now that I'm seeing it through older eyes, I'm like, you know what? These guys aren't all that bad. Sure, they're not exactly nice people, but they're not nuts.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to in Trunks' future when they're psychotic. That's something that I just noticed. There's just little character changes here and there. It's nothing dramatic. It's something you wouldn't know unless you knew you were looking for
it. Yeah, unless you're looking for it. And again, you were diehard and watched both of them. Like, if you watched episode for episode where these two are supposed to be, you might notice those little bits.
Yeah, I mean, I guess let's talk about the individual sagas.
Alrighty.
Let's start with the Saiyan Saga, which is picks up about, I think it's about like 5-10 years after the end of the original Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Goku's married Chi-Chi. They've got a kid, Gohan. He's 4 years old at this time. And this is where they start to introduce more of the sci-fi element into the show. Raditz, another Saiyan, arrives on Earth and says, "You will come with me, Kakarot." And this is where you start to learn about the weird naming that comes from Saiyans. They're almost always named after vegetables or fruit.
Yep.
Or something.
That's a weird thing he chose to do, is name all after vegetables.
But they all sound almost all of them
badass.
Sound awesome. Yeah. I mean, Raditz, I think, sounds awesome. Nappa, Vegeta. Yeah.
Kakarot is so badass, too.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't very many stupid names. You know, I mean, even Broccoli became Broly later on, who's like the legendary Super Saiyan.
And then Vegeta's brother, his name is the
Turles.
The vegetable.
Yeah.
Oh, the original name is Tarble.
Yeah.
Supposed to be the play on table of vegetable. I'm like, wow, that's kind of stupid, but it just works out for some reason.
Well, another one that I always thought was kind of weird was Paragus. Obviously, asparagus. But I always found that kind of like a, geez, man, that gets weird. But anyway, so Raditz kidnaps Goku's son, says, "You either join me or I'm taking your kid. You need to wipe this planet clean of humans."
Because this is why you were sent here, and why are you living with them, and what happened to you? Why are you such a softy now?
Yeah, and it took them 20 years to figure this out, I might add. which almost makes space travel really relative in this series, actually. And I'll talk about that when we get to the next saga.
Yeah.
So what happens is Goku dies defeating Raditz. Piccolo impales them both with his special beam cannon. And Raditz says, "You've killed yourself, you fool." And he's like, "Yeah, big deal. My friends can bring me back with the Dragon Balls. Ha ha."
That was such a badass scene, seeing it the first time. It's like, to Goku, death means nothing. I can come back whenever.
Exactly. To me, this is just a pit stop.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so he's like, "Well, my scouter's been transmitting all this information to two of my other buddies, and they'll be here in a year." And that's something else I really kind of liked about this series. I mean, if you notice in a lot of anime post-Dragon Ball Z, we'll talk about this more a little bit later, notice how many people wear scouter-like devices.
Well, even Mass Effect, Garrus wears one.
Yeah, I mean, they just became a staple of, like, sci-fi and macho-ism. I mean, I'm sure there were probably eyepieces before, but never were they so cool-looking.
Wait till Google Glass. There's going to be a scouter modification, and I will own that.
Yeah, same here.
No badass that will be?
That'd be cool, just especially if it makes the like sounds, too.
That has to be an easy modification.
So, do you hear that? Google Glass nerds, make me a scouter version. So, eventually what happens is, like, okay, crap. These guys are coming. We have a year. Goku's dead. We got to figure it out. So Goku tells him, you know what? Don't bring me back right away. I'm going to go train with this guy called King Kai, who's like, he's basically the guy who's in charge of our quadrant of the universe, so to speak. And he can give them all sorts of training techniques, like the Kaioken, which increases your like power level, the Spirit Bomb, which gathers energy from every living creature and puts it into this giant, well, energy blast. And, you know, he's like, just wait, I'll come back, but you guys need to be working on this. So Piccolo tells Goku and tells everybody else, look, I'm taking Gohan. He's really powerful, but he needs to be trained hard, and you guys can't do it. So they're like, no, 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 don't do it. And he's like, nope, fuck you guys. Takes the kid, drops him in the wilderness. Okay, if you survive, I'll come back and train you.
And I feel that part of the series really is an homage, I guess, to Goku in Dragon Ball with his innocence and then him using all his power. Like the scene where he fights the Tyrannosaurus, just starts cutting off its tail to live after a while. That just felt really Dragon Ball-esque to me when I was watching that part of the series.
Yeah, because eventually the Tyrannosaur becomes terrified of Gohan. This little guy scaring away this big scary monster. And there were some genuinely good moments during the Saiyan saga before the big fight started happening. One of the episodes I liked, and I don't remember because I didn't watch season one of Kai when I did this. I went through Frieza forward because everyone's seen the Saiyan saga
a million times. Yeah.
And there's an episode where Gohan rescues a robot who's been trapped underground for X amount of years. And he's like, leave me alone. But eventually they develop a friendship and the robot dies. Like, Gohan has to leave him behind. He feels really, really bad about it. And that's something Dragon Ball Z gets a lot of crap for, saying there's not a lot of good character moments. There really are. I mean, all things considered, there are some moments where the writing shines through and some of the performances shine through here. And in the Saiyan saga, as we begin to move forward, we start to see other bad guys start coming out. We are introduced to Vegeta. We're introduced to Nappa, who are two elite Saiyan warriors who are going to come here. And Vegeta is the prince of all Saiyans. His dad, King Vegeta, obviously left him in charge. On the planet Vegeta, which was blown up by Frieza, who we'll get introduced to in the next saga. But so they're there to find who Kakarot is, get these Dragon Balls, and wish for immortality so they can conquer the universe or whatever. And what happens is the Z Warriors get wiped out. We lose Yamcha, who was a thief from the original Dragon Ball who came over. Basically, he looks like Goku, except he's got a scar on his face. Tien, who was a former competitor from the World Martial Arts Tournament. The guy with three eyes. Chao Su, who is like a psychic kid who can whip things around.
Who always scares me.
He's kind of freaky and kind of useless in Dragon Ball Z when you look at it. Actually, you know. He becomes useless after the Saiyan saga. And then there's Piccolo, obviously, who was the once great Demon King Piccolo, who was split between Kami and Piccolo. And everybody gets wiped out, except for Goku, Yajirobe, and Krillin. And Krillin was Goku's buddy from back in Dragon Ball, and they've been staying friends for the whole time. Then there's Master Roshi, the guy that trained them to do the Kamehameha, which translates to, I think it's Turtle Wave or something like that.
Apparently the greatest attack ever created.
Yeah, because it's the only move they ever really... That's like Goku's signature move is that...
It's like the Hadouken.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's the Dragon Ball Z equivalent of the Hadouken, which... I'm kind of glad you mentioned that, just very briefly. We're recording this show on March 28th. If you look on Kotaku either today or yesterday, there's a post where evidently in Japan...
Japan? My sister showed me this today.
Yeah, it's a thing to go around, do the Kamehameha pose, and have people look like they're being thrown back.
I'm going to actually take some of those photos this weekend, because I think that's awesome.
That's so weird. See, I'm glad it's this, as opposed to this Harlem Shake bullshit, which I can honestly say I've gone 4 months without having seen it. I intend to increase this streak as long as I possibly can.
Don't worry. When I come over, I will show you parts of the internet you don't know existed sometimes, like Chris Chan. But let's continue with Dragon Ball Z.
Yes. And then Vegeta and Goku fight. We find out that Vegeta still has his tail, so he can transform into the Uwazu, I think that's how you pronounce it, or Uzaru, which is basically the giant weremonkey. He's like, all right, well, if I can't defeat you, I'll kill everybody.
I love that.
I thought that was a fun little part, and that's kind of where you get the where you see the stakes really get raised up in the series, where Goku almost has to burn out his body doing like Kaioken times 20, so to finally beat Vegeta. But ultimately, the hero of this is Yajirobe, the fat little guy. Chops off
most underappreciated character.
Yeah, and he doesn't really pop up again until the
Cell Saga.
And even then, he's just whining and bitching.
He's like, fuck this.
You know, I'm not fighting that. Screw that. Which you can't blame him, really. And then Vegeta's defeated, but Goku's like, I'm going to spare your life because maybe we'll fight again someday. And you start to get the hint of the Saiyans, they get stronger whenever they're near death. So Vegeta gets stronger, Goku gets stronger, and they're like, well, guys, we need to find Dragon Balls because, shit, our friends are dead. And they find out that Piccolo is something called a Namek, which Vegeta's like, oh, you're one of these people. And it turns out those people, the Nameks, have the ability to create Dragon Balls. So they're like, well, we got to go there, and we got to find out about who this Frieza guy is. And they start taking a spaceship. Anyway, so they send Goku ahead. Like, okay, well, you can train the entire time you're like going out, and we'll see if we can find Dragon Balls on Namek to revive the ones here. And well, Scott, you can pick up the Frieza
Saga. I was going to say that. I'll take the Frieza Saga cuz you've been talking for a while, bud. So our friends get over to Namek. They find that there are more people like Piccolo here, Namekians. They live in small villages, and they're trying to talk to them to figure out where they can find these Dragon Balls. So, all's fine right now. Nothing's really bad going on for the first few episodes, but that's always how it happens. So they're searching for this. They meet like Dende and the Guru. I think his name is Guru, the master of all the Namekians. Actually, the father of all of them, because then you find out they're like asexual. Well, I guess you would have found that out in Dragon Ball when the Demon King makes Piccolo. Mm-hmm. So we find this, and then guess what, guys? We meet our next villain, Frieza, who in Kai they actually introduce in the very first episode. They introduce Frieza because they cut it all around. Because they originally don't show the planet Vegeta getting destroyed until the Frieza Saga, but in Kai they show it in the very first episode. So people who have only seen Kai, you'll be like, oh shit, it's this guy again. Whoa. And you already have some context of how much of a badass motherfucker he is, because he blew up the planet full of apparently the greatest warriors the universe has ever known. So you know shit's getting real. So upon Frieza coming here, it's Krillin and Gohan right now are on the planet with Bulma, and they're like, crap, we gotta find these Dragon Balls. So we got the trusty Dragon Radar out, and we're searching for them. They're searching. And it isn't until shortly after that they sense another power level, and they're like, oh shit, what's this? And it's, lo and behold, everyone's favorite Princess Saiyans, Vegeta. He is back. He came to Namek because he knows about the Dragon Balls as well. And he is a crony of Frieza at the moment. Sorry, my throat there. And so they're going. They meet him again. Goku still hasn't shown up because he always takes his sweet time, as we know. And they're going through. They're still searching for him. Frieza's wiping out a few villages to get these Dragon Balls. Shortly after, Vegeta finds out they're there. And they don't really fight at the moment. They kind of just, oh, well, we'll give you Dragon Balls. I think that's what happens. They're like, hey, whatever. Don't kill us. Don't kill us, Vegeta. But he's pissed off at Frieza, so he's like, I don't care. I just want your Dragon Balls, and then I'm going to go kill Frieza. But before this can happen, a great force of elite warriors, Frieza's 501st, as I like to call them, lo and behold, the Ginyu Force.
A.K.A. the goofiest bunch of retards in the series.
I gotta remember their names, like Zarbon or whatever. And
there was Captain Ginyu.
Yeah, Berter, Zarbon.
Zarbon, Berter, Jace, Raccoon and Guldo, or Guido, I can't remember what his name is.
In Jersey Shore? Jersey Shore.
Yes. And each of them has, like, some special power, some uber ability.
And they also like interpretive dance and choreography.
Basically, think of them as stupid, evil Power Rangers.
They pretty much are, is a parody of the Power Rangers. They practice their stupid stance. We are the Ginyu Force!
Which is kind of funny, because later on in the sagas, because everybody fights them, sometimes they get their asses kicked by the Ginyu Force, Gohan, when he becomes the great Saiyan Man later in the series, which we're not really going to talk about things that happen after Cell, to be honest with you, but when he's in the Majin Buu sagas or the great Saiyan Man things, he poses like the Ginyu Force. For no real rhyme or reason, other than the thought he thought it looked cool. So if you want to hear Kyle Hebert do that, go pick up the later seasons of Dragon Ball and have him go, "I'm gonna beat some fashion sense into you." It's ridiculous. Moving on though, continue.
So the Ginyu Force comes and they're like, "Shit, these guys are trouble. They're going through here." Vegeta is really pissed off. The Ginyu Force is here. He hates these guys. So he goes on a rampage to kill them, and he kills a few of them, and then they start to catch on that Vegeta is here, and they get pissed. So they're also looking for the Dragon Balls so Frieza can become the most powerful thing in the universe. But later on, we find out that Purunga is his name. You can only say your wishes in Namekian. Ha ha ha, plot device. So as we go on with the Ginyu Force starting to kill these people, Gohan and Vegeta and Krillin all end up joining forces in an unlikely alliance right now because, hey, Vegeta's killed all your friends. We're going to help you defeat. We're going to help you because my enemy's enemy is my friend. And that's basically how they're seeing each other at the moment. So they get the Ginyu Force. They wipe him out. Frieza's not too happy about this. And that's when the Frieza saga takes on because Frieza comes up. And at first you see him, you're like, Frieza, like, this guy, he's not really that impressive. He just has a little chair. He's like an old person in a chair. Like, why are you going to be afraid of him? But slowly but surely, you find out how mass his power is. This is when we get introduced to these transforming enemies that seem to always appear in Dragon Ball Z. He has multiple forms, and each form stronger than the last. So they start the fight with Frieza, and they start to get their ass handed to them, honestly. They're like, "Dad, where are you?" Gohan's yelling. He's waiting for Goku to come. And I think it's after, is it the first or second transformation that Goku finally appears on?
I think it's after the, like, second one or something like that.
Because he has four. He has four transformations, I think.
No, he has Wait. Three. There's...
Okay.
Yeah, because he's got the chair.
Then he becomes the big Brutin motherfucker.
And then he becomes the one that kind of looks like the alien. Or no, he has, like, giant horns, basically.
Yeah.
And then
he becomes perfect form.
Yeah, then he becomes the sleek version of...
Yeah,
of
the sleek and... And that's why I always thought Frieza was a girl.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced that's a man.
No, I'm not either. The voice is feminine. Frieza's body is feminine looking. Curvature and such. Really weird, though. And then, finally, Goku is finally on Namek, and his power level is huge, because he's been just training, and 100 times... It was 100 times gravity.
Yeah, so he's like super badass, ready to fight. And this is where I think Dragon Ball Z starts to fall off the rails in some ways.
Yes.
So I'm looking at this right now. In the original Funimation box set, Season 3 is nothing but Goku getting recovering from fighting. And Gohan, basically, the season starts with Gohan guarding the Dragon Balls while Vegeta takes a nap. The season ends 33 episodes later after Frieza dies. But even with the planet blowing up, where they say the planet's going to blow up in 5 minutes, yet it takes like...
5 episodes.
But yeah, 5 or 6 episodes. You just get to see just how terrible a lot of the filler episodes really are, because it's nothing but talking or them grunting about power levels. Now, that being said, I think Frieza may have been one of the best bad guys in the series. That being said here. So let's just wrap this up really quickly.
Yeah. So Frieza's like, pachoo, 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 I'm going to kill some people. Pachoo, I'm killing you. Going to kill you too. I'll blow this shit up. Basically how the rest of the episodes go. And then we get to his final form, and he's kind of pissed off. He kills Dinde because this guy is, he is healing these guys, and he doesn't appreciate that. Goku's here. He's like, let my friends go, Frieza. And they're all talking about the Super Saiyan before this, and everyone's like, the fabled Super Saiyan, Kakarot cannot be. Then all of a sudden, the Aryan Goku comes, and blonde hair, blue-eyed, scary motherfucker comes up here, and he gives Frieza a run for his money. Frieza can't believe that something more powerful than him, the ruler of the universe, as he likes to call himself, can be destroyed. And this is where we also see Goku's flaw of being merciful to everybody. Not so much a flaw, but in this kind of scenario, everyone's like, just kill him, just kill him, just kill him. No, his flaw of giving mercy. But before that, I forgot the part where they actually use the Dragon Balls to bring all the Namekians back to life who were killed by Frieza. They send them to Earth, everyone, except Goku and Frieza, so they can fight as before the planet gets destroyed. And then that's near the end of the saga. He cuts him in half with his Destructo Discs. He's like, okay, here's some of my energy. You deserve a second chance at life because everyone deserves a second chance. Maybe you'll remember this one day. And so the planet explodes. You think Frieza's dead, but he's not. His father, King Cool. I love their names, man. Frieza, Cool, Cooler. Like vegetables. Comes to pick up his son and basically turns him into the Terminator.
Yeah, like King Cold. Like he basically, I guess you would say he runs the Frieza clan or whatever it is.
Yep.
And he's like, well, we can't have this going around that people can kick our asses. So let's go to Earth and let's go kill the Earthlings. Although it's kind of funny. There's an episode released later, which there was a special, which we saw in the first episode of Kai that ties into this. And it was called Bardock, Father of Goku. There was an episode released. It was in like a Show and Jump magazine. And I think the episode was called Bardock, Dragon Ball, an episode of Bardock. And when Bardock dies at the beginning of Kai, turns out he didn't. He was thrown back in time on planet Vegeta before the Saiyans came or had evolved. And there's new inhabitants there. But we see Frieza's ancestor just called Cool or something like that. It was something
really?
Something really stupid.
Wow.
And it turns out Bardock was the first Super Saiyan. And that's why Frieza's afraid of Super Saiyans, is because he remembers what his ancestors had said.
That's phenomenal. I got to really go back and watch these movies. I'm trying to find them all.
Yeah, this one you can find on YouTube, legally, I think. But yeah, so that's the one that I saw. And this is where the original manga would have wrapped up and before it got super popular and they kept going. Dragon Ball now enters the android sagas. There are technically two. There's the androids, which is 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Which basically, Vegeta and Bulma have a kid named Trunks, who comes back from the future and says, okay, guys, in 3 years, some really bad shit's going to happen. In 20 years, almost everybody on the Earth will be dead, except for maybe a couple thousand. These androids are everywhere.
I'm looking for I'm fucking John Connor.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, he's basically John Connor. But he comes back, kills Frieza and King Cold, no problem. And they're like, holy shit, another Super Saiyan. But he's like, oh, by the way, and Goku's going to die in like a week. What?
Heart virus,
yeah,
bitch.
Heart virus. So he's like, in my time, we've cured it. It's no big deal. Here's the medicine. Make sure he takes it. However, because Trunks came back to help them, his timeline hasn't changed. It subscribes to the theory of time travel of parallel worlds. You can go back and change another timeline, but not your own because it's already happened. So the reason he did this, because Bulma wanted there to be a future where there still was hope alive. Because the androids basically kicked the crap out of the Z fighters. However, because they went back, or because Trunks went back, he was expecting them to fight 17 and 18, the two teenager androids. He did not expect 19, which is like a chubby fat guy, and number 20, who's
Jong-il's son, actually.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that photograph? Sorry, I'm going to tangent.
I have, actually. Yeah, looks like Android 19. And then
Dr. Gero comes back.
Yeah, Dr. Gero, who was a bad guy in the original Dragon Ball from the Red Ribbon Army. I thought this was a nice throwback, actually.
Yeah, I did too.
And so they're like, okay, I'm going to take over the world. My androids have the ability to absorb power. They have unlimited power sources. You're all going to die now because I want to rule the world. And obviously they train for these 3 years. Goku doesn't get the heart virus, so they assumed, okay, maybe I don't need to take the medicine. Stupid move. And it drags out and they fight. And the androids are like, you know what? We don't like you, Dr. Gero. So they kill him.
Vegeta 16.
Vegeta becomes a Super Saiyan during this time. Trunks comes back in time again to fight with them. But something else has also come back with them. They find a second time machine, which they're like, okay, what the hell? Turns out Dr. Gero created another android, but he didn't tell anybody about. Or as I call it, plot convenience.
Exactly.
And it turns out it's this perfect creature called Cell, who has taken cells from every one of the Z fighters, including Frieza and King Cold. So they have the ability to adapt in space and change form and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of the android saga is spent with them fighting, obviously, the androids. But then Cell shows up and he has to absorb 17 and 18 for him to achieve his perfect form. His first form looks like this insectoid one. The next time is this. I almost want to say I find the caricature almost kind of racist. I mean, Cell's second
almost form, like how racist Popo is.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, there's no other way to say it. He looks like Cell Blackface, and I hate that about his character design.
Yeah.
He just looks stupid, frankly. And then he becomes Perfect Cell, which is, oddly enough, like a white guy, and he gets a pair of wings, and his stinger that absorbs people is tucked under his wings now.
It's now his uterus.
Basically, yeah, he can birth things called Cell Juniors, and the basic crux
that happens later on.
And the basic crux of all it is Goku knows he can't beat Cell. But he knows Gohan can, because as you find out much, much later on, if you kept going, half Saiyans are stronger than regular Saiyans because they don't have any limits imposed upon them. So Gohan and Trunks are in theory stronger than Vegeta and Goku, though they don't necessarily realize their potentials. Goku taps out, more or less, says, you know what, I can't beat you, Cell, you know what, cool. So Gohan has to step up because he spent so much time in the hyperbolic time chamber, which is
another great plot device. Why didn't they use it before?
Well, because you can only spend,
they can only go in twice.
Yeah, you can only go in twice before it kills you.
And I was like, wow, this is so convenient that this is here and we can all train to defeat something that's undefeatable. But I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
When you see, because we're getting to the part now where Gohan's showing all his unlimited power. Have they hit Super Saiyan 2?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's where they call it. Although Super Saiyan 2 is physically stronger, it is not as fast as Super Saiyan 1.
Because I was always curious, because they just say, oh, he broke Super Saiyan. And I always knew that they started numbering it to, like, what, 4 or 5? And I never understood, knew if that was Super Saiyan 2 or not.
I think it's Super Saiyan 2, or they call it Ascended. And this is where it gets really, once again, this is something that I think takes away from the series, is when they start going beyond Super Saiyan, they're like, well, it's not really special anymore.
Now, I know, it's just the Cell saga. I feel like I understood why he wanted to end it there, because it really just started, well, if every enemy is the most powerful enemy in the universe, how far can we go until we have to plateau at some point? Oh, wait, we can actually always get more stronger. We're going to break the strongest there's ever been. Like, there's only ever been one Super Saiyan before, but now there's 5 of us, and we can all become even stronger than that.
Yeah, it gets really ridiculous. I mean, eventually, Goku dies again, trying to transport Cell away from Earth as he's going to blow it up. However, one cell of Cell survives, and because he's got Saiyan DNA, he's now triple,
even stronger, because his nucleus didn't get destroyed. That was the worst thing they could have done in that series.
I'm like, come on. So eventually Gohan and Goku do the father-son Kamehameha. He's annihilated. The Kai ends with Trunks going back to the future, kicking the crap out of the Cell there, and Android 17 and 18, and their future is more or
less. And we're in peace.
And we're in peace. And that's where Kai ends. Now, according to the voice actress for Krillin in Japan, they're working on the Majin Buu saga right now. So I imagine they'll probably bring it over here at some point.
Yeah, it was November they said they're starting to work on it. So I probably guess we won't sing till next this fall, maybe.
Yeah, we'll probably see something by the end of the year.
Because they have the movie right now, so.
Yeah, and one of the things I'd like to do is actually for us to take a small break, and we're actually going to hear from one of the voice actors on the show, and we're gonna start wrapping things up as we talk about the cultural influence, Dragon Ball Z and the other media, the video games, the movies, the toys, and even the food. We'll be back after this, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. Welcome back to This Week in Geek. I'm one of your many hosts, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well, as you've heard, me and Scotty have been talking about the legendary Dragon Ball Z franchise, and well, luckily, one of the principal voice actors is actually one of the friends of the show. I'm talking with Kyle Hebert. Kyle, how are you doing this evening?
I am excelente. Thanks for having me, sir.
Yeah, it's always a good time to be able to catch up with you, but I've never had a chance myself to really kind of dig into you about the whole history of Dragon Ball Z. I remember my friend Dave interviewed you for his college paper a couple of years ago. So I have to ask the question, which I'm sure you get all the time. How did you get involved with the Dragon Ball Z franchise?
My journey starts with being in radio as a disc jockey for Radio Disney. At the time, we heard about DBZ's popularity on Cartoon Network, and they were looking for an angle for promotions with Funimation. So while they secured that professional partnership, and we gave away various DBZ merchandise after the coming months, this was back in 2000, they found out auditions were going on, and they knew how badly I wanted to get my feet wet, as it were, with some animation voice work. So literally a dream come true since I was a kid. And as a fan of DBZ too, the Ocean Dub used to air in the States, once a week, before Cartoon Network in America. And then it started taking off, and I used to imitate the narrator, and lo and behold, I ended up landing one of those roles and taking over the narrator role, and Ox King, and of course, the iconic Gohan, and took him over once the character starts going to high school. So, what a trip.
So, being involved in this franchise for now well over a dozen years, what have some of the adventures been like this? Because I know you guys don't necessarily all get to record at once, as many voice actors don't get a chance to record like that.
Right.
Are there any tales from running into other voice actors at the cons that you've maybe had over the years?
Well, I've always looked up to and admired and idolized Scott McNeil. So once we were at the same con as mutual guest, it's like, wow, this is like a fanboy dream come true, only I'm on the opposite side of it, so I don't have to wait in the long lines for the autographs. I could just run into Scott in the green room and just start yammering away, and we hit it off real nice. And unfortunately, I only see him maybe once a year because he doesn't do a lot of conventions anymore. His agent's cracking the whip and everything, and he's working all the time. And good on him. That's great. But through the years, it's just been really eye-opening to get to be a part of a fantastic franchise that's really spoken to generations of people. And now the new generation with DBZ Kai and, the buzz building around the movie, which, hopefully we'll get a chance to dub. As of now, there's no word on that front, but we can all certainly hope.
Now, one of the things that Dragon Ball Z is known for, there's well over 20 of these things. I'm talking about the video games. What's it like to reprise the roles so often for these games?
It's pretty wild because, at least it's new content. They kind of recycle the same plots over and over. I wish they would kind of think outside the box and do some new stuff with it. But it is a chance to revisit the characters. And, technically speaking, and money-wise, it's a grander adventure because, games pay a lot better than anime dubs. And it's technically easier to do because there's no lip sync involved. The last couple of games, they've kind of wisened up, and they've I'm talking about the gaming companies, and they've just kind of recycled our voice tracks for the fight sounds, because let's face it, there's only so many fight sounds you can make, and then you get the recycled audio and video for like things like the Kinect game, which we didn't have any new content for.
Now, what has been your favorite game to record for?
I remember distinctly recording for the third Budokai all those years ago. We've had many games since then, but I just love that the Great Saiyaman had a line on there, and people ask me what's my favorite line of Gohan, and I'll say, you know, I'm going to beat some fashion sense into you! And like, that was never said on the show, but it's said on the game, and I just think it's remarkable. It's just like right up his alley.
So, I guess, Kyle, because you've had a chance to play Gohan for so many years, is there any particular insight you've kind of had into his character, sort of like an epiphany, like I said, for like being in this role for so long? Do you see anything new that maybe you didn't see in the beginning?
Well, what immediately spoke to me, and maybe that's why they cast it, is like his amazing nerd side. I mean, yeah, he's powerful and everything, but he's a huge nerd. And I like to say that I'm kind of relatable in that respect. I certainly don't look like him physically. And I can't relate to his age either. I'm, you know, much older. But I think playing that nerd card is kind of where it's at. And that's really kind of where I lock in whenever I get to play that role.
Well, Kyle, I guess as my final question to you, what do you have coming up on the schedule that we might be able to hear you in this year?
Well, you know, the usual non-disclosure agreements, but, you know, there's some more stuff coming down the pipe, games and shows. Let's see what I can throw out there. And I don't know if you guys up in Canadian land have access to Neon Alley on the PS3 and Xbox.
We do.
Okay, great. I'm on a couple shows on there. Nura of the Rise of the Yokai Clan. I voice Aotabo. And then I voice Bon Suguro on Blue Exorcist. These are two dubs that are airing exclusively on Neon Alley right now at the moment before they hit home video, DVD and Blu-ray. Let's see, Fire Emblem Awakening just came out. I'm Frederick and Valadar in that. Of course, Wreck-It Ralph just hit DVD and Blu-ray. You can hear me for two whole lines, or like 10 seconds on as Ryu on that. And hopefully you'll hear me on some more stuff in the future. And you can just follow me at Kyle Abear on Twitter. That's the best, easiest way to see me promoting latest projects and stuff.
Excellent. Well, once again, Kyle, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Well, that was Kyle Abear. Like I said, Gohan and the Dragon Ball Z narrator, but you know him from many other roles. Well, guys, me and Scotty are going to get back to talking about this wonderful franchise, the movies, the games, and even some of the weirder things this thing has spawned. We'll be back right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks, Mike, for that wicked interview with the man himself, Kyle Abear.
I always enjoy getting a chance to, like, hear from Kyle, and I really hope when the new Dragon Ball Z movie comes over, which is actually being released this weekend, Battle of the Gods, in Japan IMAX.
Oh, IMAX?
Yeah, so I'm really hoping Kyle gets to come back and voice Teen Gohan again.
Well, I think it's also pretty cool that they haven't had a movie release since 96 in the theaters.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a friggin' long-ass time since that ever came out.
And I remember when this movie, the rumors behind it, everyone thought it was a brand new Dragon Ball series he was working on. Did you hear about those rumors at all? But it was actually this movie.
Yeah. Which, although not into, it's the first theatrical, because there was another one called Plan to Eradicate the Saiyans. Mm-hmm. And there was another one before that where we meet Vegeta's son or something.
Oh, his brother.
Yeah, his brother or some shit like that.
Yeah,
so it seems like there's Saiyans everywhere.
Yeah.
Which, even if you look at some of the Dragon Ball Z movies, they fight... I know they fight other Saiyans in the Tree of Life episode, or the movie, where there's... Tree of Life, or Tree of Might, I think it is.
Yeah, and I think it's what it's Might.
Then they fight another Saiyan called Broly, the legendary Super Saiyan, who is driven insane by Goku. Because all he did was cry, and it drove Broly off the deep end, and he was born with a power level of 10,000.
So he was over 9,000?
He was over 9,000 right out of the gate, and he can become Super Saiyan, no problem. He's like a Super Saiyan 3. I don't know. He's some ridiculous. Basically, he's
just fucking throw a number beside Super Saiyan, and that's what he is.
Pretty much, yeah. He is bad guy of the week. And yeah, I mean, although I will say for Dragon Ball, a lot of the movies are actually really entertaining. I'd say they're more entertaining than the series themselves.
Because they're really concise. They only have these 50, 60 minutes to get the whole story in there.
Exactly. And you get some really cool fights. Plus, you get some fantastic animation. Like I said, my favorite is the 12th movie, I think. It's the 11th or 12th. And it's called Dragon Ball Z Fusion Reborn.
And I want to watch this after you told me what it's about.
It's weird. Now, how this movie starts, I'm going to explain it so it sounds stupid but awesome. The movie starts with PyCon, who is the hero of the other world, and Goku fighting at this tournament. Now, there is this ogre who in King Yemma's end of the afterlife, who's cleaning out the evil purification machine just above hell. He falls into it. And basically, like, the tank gets infected with all the evil at once, and he becomes this creature called Janemba. And it's basically this evil creature. And, it gets weirder after that. Because now that the barrier between the living world and the world of the dead is gone, because this guy was living and now he's from hell. And it's basically, the plot's not important. Is the best way to
the fights of the enemies are what makes it?
Yeah. At one point, Adolf Hitler shows up.
I want to watch this.
Fought by Goten and Trunks. And it's really weird. They also fight every bad guy they've ever sent to hell. So Gohan, this is the only scene I remember crystal clear, is they're fighting on top of a building. Gohan and Videl, which is Mr. Satan's daughter. There's another character we haven't even talked about. But anyway.
Devil.
So what happens is, so there's like Cell there, Frieza, all these other bad guys are like, oh, look at you. We've come back for revenge. And he's like, fuck you. And kills him in like one shot. It's ridiculous. Or I remember he punches Frieza and he like explodes. And everyone's like, oh, shit. And there's like Super Android 13 there. It's like all the bad guys that they fought before, they're like, bitch, don't even try. And Eventually it ends with them fighting Janemba, who appears as this really fat, jolly guy.
Santa Claus?
It's weird. He appears as this giant fat creature, and he gets hurt by you yelling at him. But then eventually he transforms into this really slick-looking creature with, like, a sword, and Vegeta and Goku try and fight him, but he kicks their ass. So they have to perform the fusion dance, and they become something called Gogeta, which you'll see more in Dragon Ball GT. So they become the ultimate Super Saiyan. They kick his ass. Peace is restored. It's weird. But it's one of the more fun Dragon Ball Z movies. I mean, they fight Frieza's brother, Cooler, and Metacooler.
Is there, like, fridge coolers? Like, fridge and stuff like that? Freezer? Is there beer fridge? They have cool names like that. We get into, like, all these Ice Cube.
It's just, it's so weird.
Ice Tea and Ice Cube are like two little twins.
Another one that's kind of funny that I liked in this one was one called Lord Slug, where there's an evil Super Namek. And he comes to Earth and tries to basically freeze the planet out. However, you get to see Super Saiyan there before he goes to planet Namek. So the continuity, it's really fun.
It's really off.
Yeah, so they describe it as false Super Saiyan or something like that. I'm like, come on, guys. It's okay. You made a mistake.
Well, technically, if you look at it, so this is before he goes to Namek?
Yeah.
Well, technically, you never, like, he might have known the whole time. He's like, I was a Super Saiyan before. I know I can do this. Yeah. You want to be something like that, but I'm just not going to do it to the very last possible moment for plot convenience.
Yeah, it's just, it gets kind of weird in there, all things considered. Now, one of the other things that Dragon Ball Z has done, it's obviously had a massive influence on culture. And that's where we're going to segue into some of our kind of closing topics here. If it wasn't for Dragon Ball Z and things like Akira, Sailor Moon, Pokemon, we would not have had the anime invasion of the 90s. And I think Dragon Ball Z led the charge for this, I think.
And I think so, too. I think Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon go hand in hand for that. Saying, hey, girls, here's an awesome cartoon for you. Boys can like this, too. And here's this other awesome cartoon for you boys. And girls, you're probably going to watch it as well because it is kind of cute at point. Yeah. And those two shows, I felt, were the leading charge. Those, without those two shows, I don't think we'd have the huge obsession with anime as we do now in this culture.
Yeah, and people started getting into it because of the Pokemon anime that had come over. But there was a lot of stuff being dubbed and subbed. I remember buying subtitled stuff from really sketchy vendors at conventions on CDs. I remember buying the entire series of Serial Experiments Lane in real player format.
Real player format. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so for those of you that remember that cosmic clusterfuck.
Wow.
And it was across 14 or 15 CDs, and I think I paid $70 for it.
Jeez.
And that's weird because that's like, it's just weird because there was this whole underground there. I mean, it's not so much there anymore because of, you know, anime so readily available. But I remember when dubbing an anime was a huge deal. I mean, another big show that came out in the 90s was Neon Genesis Evangelion. And then we had all the Gundam series that came over. Gundam Wing being the first one that I think really hit it big with a dub crowd. And that was in 99, I think, 98. Mm-hmm. But when you mention anime, I think everybody, you automatically think of Goku and Dragon Ball Z. I mean, if you look at all the anime video games, like, I know there's one for the Nintendo DS, and it's called Jump All-Stars.
Yeah, I remember when I first told you about this game.
Yeah,
and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I showed it, and you're like, holy shit.
And now I've got it, and I might be able to get a ROM file that's translated to English at some point.
Oh, it's such a good game. Oh,
yeah, so sorry. It's like all these fighting games with Goku and Vegeta and Gaijin. Well, like,
what I said in Just the Facts, sorry, we're saying how recognizable he is. He's basically the Mickey Mouse of anime.
Yeah, pretty
not
much.
To say he sucks. Like, Mickey Mouse is the best, but I mean, he's so, everyone knows him. My mom fucking knows Dragon Ball Z. My mom used to watch Pokemon with me in anime when I was a kid on YTV.
When I used to hang with my friend Ashley Paulieu in Welland when I was attending Niagara College, when she would get mad, she'd be like, "I'm gonna go Super Saiyan on you." And I remember one of her friends questioned her. She's like, "You know what that means?"
Do you remember ever playing? Oh, I guess I was a little younger, but playing Dragon Ball Z on the playground. I guess you were in high school when Z came out. So I remember playing Dragon Ball Z and just like Kamehameha and like one person's Piccolo and Vegeta. And you start fighting with each other. And then teachers would get really mad that you're punching each other. But it's so fun.
Although, speaking, I did play Dragon Ball Z, but not the way you would think. I got into the role-playing game. It was done by R. Talosian. I think it's the same company that did Cyberpunk. Don't quote me. But they released 3 books for it. It was called the Anime Adventure Game, and it dealt with an absurd amount of dice. Like, you could be rolling in upwards of 2,000 dice.
These wars are terrible.
Yeah, well, hopefully we actually might do a Dragon Ball Z adventure at some point, but they simplified the system so you would only have to roll so many and just add, like, a bunch of zeros to it, but it was weird. So they covered the Saiyan Saga, Frieza, and the androids, but they never got as far as Cell because their licensing had run out. However, though, if you know where to look on the web, the original author had written the book already, but they couldn't publish it because they lost the licensing. So what he did is went back and changed all the names and all references to Dragon Ball to nothing else. Basically, he called it Magical Wishing Sphere, Elk, which is obviously just Cell backwards, and it gave you expanded rules, it fixed up some stuff, but it was kind of cool, the fact that there was a Dragon Ball Z RPG. Now, there hasn't been one since, because I think Dragon Ball is one of those things, it would be remarkably hard to translate. Mm-hmm. I don't think D20 could do it well, D6 wouldn't do it well, And I don't think you could do it with a percentile system like, say, Call of Cthulhu. The only system that might be able to do it might be, I would argue, the Marvel RPG, which is done by Margaret Weiss Productions, because it's more like a comic book simulator. So if you took it as a manga simulator and fudged the rules a little bit, you probably could do something equivalent. But I guess you could argue, like any role-playing game, it works on how you make the rules work. Just Dragon Ball Z, you're dealing with absurd levels of power and combat, so it's going to be... You're going to have your own episode of Dragon Ball Z where one fight takes 3 hours.
You're going to have 5 hours of filler, literally.
Yeah, because it's going to be nothing about you raising defense, raising power levels, what are you going to do, blah, 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 blah. It's going to get, frankly, kind of goofy.
But you move on to video games, I guess.
Yeah, but
and then
yeah.
Move on to other merchandise.
Video games, actually, this is something I'm actually going to post this in the episode post. Pro Jared, formerly of Screw Attack, did a wonderful 5-part series on YouTube describing the Dragon Ball Z video games. There, I think he said there's been over 30 video games over the last 28 years for Dragon Ball. So Dragon Ball is the Madden of anime fighting games. But it turns out there's a bunch of role-playing games, too, for the Nintendo.
The DS?
Yeah, for the DS.
That was a very good game. Did you ever get a chance to play it?
Legend of the Saiyans, yeah.
I wish there was more RPGs like that. Like, again, Akira Toriyama, he's also famous for doing all the art for the Dragon Quest series. I would kill to play, like, a Dragon Quest art-esque JRPG set in the Dragon Ball universe.
I think there were ones that were released for the Game Boy Advance that may have come close. I'm not 100% sure. Now, they did try and make a Dragon Ball RPG that would be on the quote-unquote next generation of systems. So the Xbox, the GameCube, and the PS2. And that was called Dragon Ball Z Sagas. It was shit. It's just...
But I think that is the thing for most of the Dragon Ball games. There's a few really good ones, but a lot of them seem to be pretty subpar.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that I don't know why it doesn't translate well, but it just doesn't. I don't know. I mean, one of the games I'm playing right now, and I was going to do this for Rad, and I may still at some point down the road, was Dragon Ball Z Ultimate Tenkaichi, which is true HD. It's on the Xbox, and it's on the PS3. And it's a mix of the Raging Blast... Burst Limit and Ultimate and Budokai Tenkaichi. God, I hate these names.
I know, I don't even bother. I just say, yeah, the Dragon Ball fighting games.
And it's weird because it's so much fun, I think, but you can wander around the world, you can collect the Dragon Balls and wish for different items.
Is this the game you're talking about now? You can do this?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Although one to avoid that tried to do this was one called Dragon Ball Z Infinite World, and it had all these stupid little mini-games in it. It was shit. Although, I think the best of the PS2 era fighters was, I think, Budokai Tenkaichi 3, with over 150 fighters. It took you through the entirety of Dragon Ball Z, all the way up to the end of GT, a few what-if matches, and it was just a serious lot of fun. There was a lot of shit to unlock, a lot of customization.
I've actually been looking for that one after you told me, and it actually still commands a pretty decent price on eBay. It's a $20 to $30 if you find it.
Yeah, it's one of the most ridiculously fun PS2 games I've ever played. Ultimate Tenkaichi, I would call to be the spiritual successor to it. It's a lot of the same controls. I would recommend you maybe play it on the PlayStation 3. It just feels awkward on a 360 controller.
It does?
Yeah, like, I don't like it personally. Just because I found my energy attacks I could do a lot easier on the PS3 as opposed to my 360. Maybe my controller's fucked.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really good games out there. Now, there was an HD collection released a couple months ago for some of the earlier games in the series. So if you want to track that down, I think it's available on PSN or Xbox Live, I think.
I've seen it readily available at every EB Games I've been in the last few months.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have a trouble tracking it down at all. It's like $25.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I personally myself would recommend getting Ultimate Tenkaichi and probably the other one. The
Burst Limit?
No. Actually, Burst Limit's not a bad game either, but I think it ends too quickly.
I remember playing that at your house. That was fun because you actually got to replay the battles from the game, and if you did certain moves at certain parts, you got rewarded, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it felt a lot like trying to relive the anime itself, and I think that's the strength of the Dragon Ball Z franchise, is you just, everybody knows the story in some capacity. I mean, it's like the anime version of Star Wars. I think that everybody knows Goku's the good guy. There's various bad guys. It's a huge space opera. It gets ridiculous in points, but it's still entertaining. I mean,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's anime you don't have to think too hard about. And I think Dragon Ball Z Kai condensed it into a version that would be viewable by today's audiences and not get bored of it.
No, not at all. And that's an interview they're talking about. That's what they wanted to do. Is they said the kids, people who watch it during the original run, we're not making it for young kids anymore. We're making it for people who grew up with it, kind of thing. It's a more serious tone we're going for. We're not going to be. There's some goofy bits in that, whatever. But we want to make it great that anyone can watch it now.
Yeah, basically, it was meant to be the open source, the openly accessible Dragon Ball Z, and I really hope they continue to do it. If you're interested in Dragon Ball, check out Kai. I really recommend checking out some of the movies. Start from the beginning and move forward. If you're familiar with the Dragon Ball Z storyline, you can figure out where they are in terms of continuity and how powerful they should be at this point. Like I said, and there's some genuinely funny moments, but there's also some really cool fights in here. I mean, Super Android 13 has some pretty cool moments in it too, so be sure to check those out.
Watch Cooler's Revenge if you want to hear the whole soundtrack done by Disturbed.
Yeah, some of the localization for the soundtrack, it's a lot of hit and miss. Lord Slug is actually what introduced me to Disturbed and Finger Eleven.
Oh
yeah, because the one song I remember was, I think it's Drag You Down by Finger Eleven or First Time. And they use that for one of the fights. And everyone's like, oh, that soundtrack sucks. I liked it because it's what got me into the bands. But you can definitely tell it's a relic of the late 90s to early 2000s. You can date the movies by the soundtracks. It's like
very much so.
It's a lot like putting KMFMDM into the Street Fighter 2 animated movie. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's cool then. But you look at it 20 years later thinking, I don't know whether this works here or not. But still,
the last little bit to discuss, I guess, after all the video games and movies, is some of the mass merchandising like food.
See, I have only ever come across some of the Dragon Ball Z food promos online. I know for Battle of the Gods, like, I think they got a big deal going on with like Burger King or something over there.
And I think it's like a 7-Eleven equivalent.
Yeah, where like
they have like this weird French fries in a Super Saiyan container, which looks like his hair. It's little snacks. They have like a little like yogurt, looks like Boo. Little pastries that look like Dragon Balls. A hot dog in a bun that looks like his bow staff.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really weird Dragon Ball Z merch out there. I mean, I'm mostly into the action figures.
I'm into the food.
Bandai had a huge line of them, and I remember you could get them in like 20-inch scale, if not bigger. Just giant figures. The ones that I'm interested in, I think they're done by the PlayArts Kai people. If not, they're remarkably similar. But they're super articulated. They're about 4 to 5 inches, I think. I know there's Super Saiyan Vegeta and Goku. So I might pick those up at some point.
I just have two figures. When Kai was released, they released these vinyl figures of Goku and Vegeta. They're pretty nice little figures. They're hollow in the center, but they're just pretty nice looking little vinyl statues I keep up on my shelf here. And they're in fighting stance, like they're going to beat each other up. They're pretty nice. I think they're like 15, 20 bucks too. They're dirt cheap.
What I've got for figures, I've got a Cell, an Android 19. I've got Super Saiyan 2 Trunks.
I've never seen these before.
Yeah, I just got them, actually.
Oh, okay. If they've had them for so long, I'm like, where have these been every time I've been to your house?
I've got a super articulated Goku. I don't know where he is. I lost a really nice Vegeta figure I had when I moved a couple of years ago. But yeah, there is tons of... There's like posters, wall scrolls. Probably like you name it, they've put Goku's face on it at some point.
Fleshlight.
Well... There is Dragon Ball underwear. That's what my wife just yelled at me. Yeah, there's a lot of really weird stuff. One of the weirdest things I've seen, because you know we had to go here for at least a minute and a half. I've seen Dragon Ball Z hentai.
Who hasn't, okay?
That's weird. But some of the artwork is, well, it's really good, for lack of a better phrase.
I found about this in elementary school, Dragon Ball Z hentai. That's too young. But it was Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon. And forever I have envisioned both those animes coinciding.
Yeah. Well, he'd be a lot better off with Serena as opposed to Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
God, I hate Chi-Chi. Because all she does in Dragon Ball Z is bitch.
I know. Goku, fine. Why are you doing this to my son? And only when he dies. So she's like, oh, my Goku, I love you so much. Why did you die? Yet every waking moment I made your life hell and bitched at you.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I don't like is, and it's funny, if you look at this through the lens of us being older now, realize Goku is a terrible father.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's never there for his son, constantly pushing him to be something he may not necessarily want to be, but needs to be.
Yep.
And, I don't know, he's just never home. And the fact that he takes a year to get back after Frieza to learn instant transmission with the Yardradians, or, you know, I'm just going to take off for a while, or when he tells them, hey, don't wish me back.
Yeah, I know it's shitty for your mom, but it's better for me. I'm like, you're kind of a dick about being a father, Goku.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, whoa, buddy. Like, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, your son should know you, but then again, I guess it's not like he's impossible to get a hold of, because evidently death in Dragon Ball Z is a minor inconvenience.
Yeah, it's like when your friend goes on vacation to, like, Cuba, whatever, you can still pick up the phone and call him.
Yeah, I mean, because they've got that, like, witch person that can talk to the afterworld. They're friends with King Yemma, all this thing. The Dragon Balls from any number of different planets can just look after it. So there's always... Death is never permanent. It's basically, like I said, it's an inconvenience at most in Dragon Ball Z. So I guess, Sky, what are our closing thoughts on the Dragon Ball Z Kai and the franchise more or less as a whole?
Well, closing thoughts I like to say is Dragon Ball Z Kai, I think, is a wonderful addition to the Dragon Ball family. It's what Akira Toriyama wanted his series to be, and he gives it to you. I honestly prefer watching this. I'm going to have a difficult time actually going back and watching the original series if I ever wanted, because after seeing this, to my personal opinion, I never finished the original when it aired. Kai to me is the definitive Dragon Ball Z storyline, and I do hope they continue it like they said they were going to do and add all the other stuff, so the continuity will be similar even past that, so certain fans don't feel completely alienated. But overall, I think Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball in general is the, again, the Mickey Mouse, the Mario of anime. Everybody knows Goku. I hope the series keeps going for years to come. Akira Toriyama is only 55. He's got years to keep this universe going. And I think fans like you, myself, Mike, and the thousands of other people who still cosplay as Sans and know these characters, buy these DVDs, are going to want more and more of this universe. Because, again, it's a nostalgic universe, again, for us watching it. It takes you back into this universe that has the humor, the love, the action, the excitement, the fear. I think it puts out so well together that you can sit down and enjoy it at any age. You can enjoy it with your kids 25 years from now, and you'll probably still get the same feelings you did today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could have said it any better than you did, Scott. I mean, it's a great piece of anime history. Kai is a wonderful way to introduce it to somebody. Does it show its age? In places. But if you want something that's literally just an action anime that does have a lot of heart to it, this is it. I mean, honestly, these are wonderful characters. These are the iconic.
You care about them all.
Yeah, you give a crap about Piccolo. You love...
Except Tien and all those guys. You don't give a shit about them.
Pretty much. Although, I wish they did more with Yamcha, although I did like how they made him afraid to die in the Android Saga. That's something I really wanted to mention about. And that's something that I do like. Like I said, there are little character moments when Dr. Gero punches through Yamcha, starts taking his energy, and he barely gets saved by a Sensu being, and he's like, I'm not going out there again. If I die, I'm not coming back. And that's something that I like too, especially right towards the end of the Android saga with Cell. Mm-hmm. They're like, if we die here, guys,
we're done.
Yeah, we're done. We cannot come back.
And then Vegeta's final words of the anime of Kai, Kakarot, my death was to be at your hands. I will never fight again. And you just see him fly off.
Yeah, and obviously we'll find out what happens in the other sagas when they get translated into Kai. But anyway, guys, I really want to thank our sponsors for help making this episode possible. Once again, offworlddesigns.com, audible.com, gameaccess.ca, Starfleet, One Up Your Life, and bigandtallmart.com. But also Funimation for supplying us with these wonderful Blu-rays. I'm really glad I got a chance to watch through this series again. While I did notice some problems with the series, I still had fun with it. And I think that's something I'm very glad that I walked away with. So guys, until next time, we have been This Week in Geek, and you have been
the Prince of All Saiyans, Scott.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, you know, I would yell Kamehameha here, so instead I'll end with this.
Vegeta, what does the scouter say about his power level?
It's over 9,000!
What, 9,000? There's no way that could be...
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it!
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.